Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy September. It is September 1st, 2020, and a big thank you to all of you sending me birthday greetings today on my 61st birthday. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm 61 years young. There you go. Some people don't like talking about their age, but I say, you know what? Every day is a gift. Thanks be to God. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm grateful for every day the good Lord gives us. And I'm so glad that you're joining us here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. So much to talk about as we begin another month of faith. And we're going to talk about the things that matter most, as my dear big brother Al Cresta would say, and that being the life issues. And I was just going over the fantastic interview that our friend Raymond Arroyo did on his World Over program with Sister Deirdre Byrne. She rocked the house last week, if you recall, giving an amazing testimony at the Republican National Convention. And she was talking about being questioned by people because of her pro-life stance and saying she's a one-issue voter. How many times have we heard that? And she said, life is like the cement on the bottom of a house, holding it all together. Wow. And that is so true. And it's so simple, but it's a great analogy, because if you don't have a proper foundation, everything else implodes. And this is what the church teaches. And it's very frustrating to me, because I saw a beautiful, beautiful tweet from Archbishop Aquila, and I've shared that, by the way, on my Facebook page, at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. I encourage you to go to his Twitter account, his Facebook page, retweet it, and thank him. He put out a beautiful statement just commenting on what he called a tale of two nuns, looking at Sister Simone, who spoke at the DNC, and Sister Deirdre, who spoke again at RNC last week, and comparing their comments on life. And as a bishop, he said that we have a, and we'll talk about this in the news, that we have a responsibility, and we can't be flippant about this issue. And one of the comments that Sister Simone made was, abortion is above my pay grade. Really? You're a religious sister, and you can't address the issue of abortion? Unless you're attacking pro-lifers, which she did, saying that we're not pro-life if all we do is support the baby. As if that's all we do, not that that isn't crucial, enough on its own. But that's such an insult and a slap in the face to all of you who work so hard, who pray outside the abortion mills every day, every week, who offer information for the women going in saying there are other alternatives for you. Have you thought about placing your child with adoption? Have you thought about help that's available, free help that we can give you? And offering also, even if they decide to go ahead, God forbid, with the abortion, offer them pamphlets for healing afterward. I don't hear about too many abortion mills doing that. And yet we're attacked because we dare raise this issue. And here's the Archbishop doing a very good job of teaching, and people are telling him, his own people telling him to stay out of politics. Oh, it's always about politics when people don't want to hear something. But we can talk about politics all we want if they talk about subjects about which they agree or which they want to hear about. Or when someone goes against church teaching and claims to have a collar on, that's great. That's fine, because we agree with them. But God forbid we should have to think about something that just happens to be the core teaching of the church. I am so, I don't know about you, tired of it, but at the same time, I'm grateful for the opportunity to teach on it and to share. And we should all be teaching. Every single one of us has a platform. And this is what Archbishop Aquila said. You're going to hear that Archbishop Pollio, who spoke over the weekend at a conference overseas, is saying we're all responsible for teaching the gospel of life. And unfortunately, when you see some of these exchanges, and I went in there and weighed in politely, respectfully, but did respond in support of the Archbishop and the truth of the Catholic Church, which he's upholding, as he always does. It's, I think, a reflection on the poor teaching that has taken place. And that's why we need so badly, I was just saying this in the first hour of my show, we need Catholic radio. We need EWTN. And so many of the stations are going to be having drives in the next couple of weeks and months. So please, as Father Mitch always says and as Mother Angelica always said, keep us between your gas and electric bills. We don't subsist on advertisement. We subsist on your support, first and foremost with your prayers. Anyhow, much to talk about, which brings me to our first guest for today, which will be, I'm sure, very interesting, Dr. James Shirley. He's an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And following Abby Johnson's historic speech last week at the RNC, taking a look at what she said regarding Planned Parenthood. Almost 80%, as Abby explained, and she should know, she's a former clinic director of Planned Parenthood, almost 80% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are strategically located in minority neighborhoods. And every year, Abby went on, Planned Parenthood celebrates its racist roots by presenting the Margaret Sanger Award. Now, the largest affiliate of Planned Parenthood in the U.S., a New York affiliate, denounced Margaret Sanger, but they're still living by her beliefs. She was a racist, she was a eugenicist, and they even acknowledge it, as I just said now. And so why aren't they closing down the abortion facilities in minority communities if they acknowledge that their organization has racist roots? But we're going to be talking to Dr. Shirley about a new study that shows just how bad it is in terms of how African American women are targeted, with one statistic showing that Black women experience abortion nearly four times more often than white women. And this is nothing new, as this report says it has been the case for at least three decades, even longer. So Dr. James will be joining us shortly after the news, and then we're going to be wrapping up with our friends from the wonderful Cardinal Newman Society. Patrick Rowley, the president and the founder, will be talking about keeping it Catholic, regardless of what's going on, especially with the coronavirus. So a busy morning. Hope you can stay tuned for the entire hour. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, and thank you again for all the lovely and very personal birthday wishes. Let's look at the news and see what's happening on a Tuesday morning. It is September 1st, 2020. You'll find a more detailed story on this on Catholic News Agency, with the president of the Pontifical Academy for Life saying over the weekend, as we mentioned, that Catholic politicians should not promote or endorse legal protections of any kind for abortion, calling Catholics to promote the gospel of life. On Saturday, during a meeting of the Latin American Organization of Bishops, Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia saying the church is very clear in this regard. It is a response from the catechism. It is a great mistake to promote legislation on abortion and euthanasia. The Archbishop offering a presentation on Pope St. John Paul II's 1995 encyclical Evangelium Vitae, or the Gospel of Life. He added that Catholic politicians must stop promoting laws against the life of the unborn. There is no doubt about it. The Archbishop added that political leaders should try to improve bad and sinful legislation, adding that politicians, both Christians and others, have to hear the validity of supporting and aiding the lives of all, and especially the most fragile. As we also mentioned, Catholic Archbishop Samuel Aquila urging Americans to embrace the gospel of life. Following 2 weeks of political conventions, a Denver Archbishop posting a meme on Twitter that compared two of the speakers at the major events for Democrats and Republicans. On Friday, he posted a meme, A Tale of Two Nuns, the meme quoting one, Sister Deirdre, who spoke at the RNC, saying, as a physician, I can unequivocally say all life begins at conception. He also quoted Sister Simone, who spoke at the DNC, where she said, abortion is above my pay grade. Emphasizing the importance of protecting unborn children, Aquila said the meme speaks for itself. He also prayed, Lord, help us embrace the gospel of life. He said, this is about Catholic teaching the seriousness of abortion and never to be dismissive or flippant with so serious a matter. Catholic persons and every Catholic, he said, has a responsibility to be faithful to the gospel of life. And a strongly worded letter to several UN committees from the U.S. clearly stating international human rights law does not recognize any right to abortion. The letter addressing attempts by some member states to take advantage of the COVID-19 virus to assert the existence of such a right. In other news, the White House continues to condemn the what they call anarchy, violence, and destruction happening in many cities in response to the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
All of these cities are Democrat-run. All of these cities have experienced anarchy, violence, and destruction in recent days, the opposite of a peaceful protest.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany specifically referencing Washington, New York, Portland, Minneapolis, and Kenosha. She also criticized Portland, Oregon Mayor Ted Wheeler for rejecting federal law enforcement in an irrational and tone-deaf letter. McEnany says President Trump is willing to show up, but noted that it is incumbent upon Democrats to step up and invite him to help. The family of Jacob Blake says violence and chaos is not going to get America to the goals that need to be met. Speaking on MSNBC, Jacob's sister said African Americans need to come together.
Violence and chaos is not what's going to get us to the goals that we need to meet. Black people need to come together and unify.
She adds they're really just sick and tired of all the violence, and the family wants to see real change. President Trump saying he did speak with the Blake's family pastor, but he won't be meeting with the family, at least not right now.
I thought it would be better not to do anything where there are lawyers involved. They wanted me to speak, but they wanted to have lawyers involved, and I thought that was inappropriate, so I didn't do that.
The chief executive will be in Kenosha, Wisconsin today. That's where Blake was shot several times by police last Sunday. And today is primary day in Massachusetts. The main event is Congressman Joe Kennedy challenging fellow Democrat Ed Markey for his seat in the U.S. Senate. Kennedy and Markey have spent the last few days seeking out support from people who have not yet cast an absentee ballot. That group has been getting smaller, as state officials say 768,000 Democratic absentee ballots have been submitted as of yesterday. Authorities in Massachusetts are seizing massive amounts of drugs and cash in a bust that included several arrests. State Police Colonel Christopher Mason saying the opioid crisis has had a lasting impact on the community.
We've had the unpleasant occasion to have to speak to a number of families that have suffered a loss due to opioids. So we understand the impact that this has, the ripple effect it has in our communities, and so we're very committed to continuing that fight.
Federal and local officers, they found over 6 kilograms of fentanyl, and it actually holds a street value, they say, of well over $1 million. Pills, a firearm, and thousands of dollars in cash also discovered. Crews battling Colorado's Grizzly Creek fire near Glenwood Springs, Colorado, are getting an assist from Mother Nature.
Substantial change in fire activity and a little bit of relief in the weather over the last few days, which enabled us to attempt a more direct approach in suppressing the fire.
Fire Operations Chief John Glover, meanwhile, saying the fire has burned more than 23,000 acres and is now 73% contained. More than 600 firefighters are working to put it out. Crews still need to work on the northwest end of the blaze, which is still potentially threatening the Glenwood Springs area. Joshua Lipton tells us over in California, a firefighter there has been killed, another hurt battling a wildfire in a northern California forest.
The U.S. Forest Service says it happened Monday in a fire burning in Mendocino National Forest. California wildfires have now claimed at least 8 lives. The 2 largest fires, east and north of San Francisco, are each about 65% contained. Those 2 fires have burned more than 750,000 acres combined and destroyed more than 1,200 structures.
It is almost 14 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, September 1st. Happy September 2020. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Associate Scholar of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Dr. James Shirley, on a new report, a groundbreaking study published just recently in the Journal of Health Services Research and Managerial Epidemiology, revealing racial disparities of abortion in the U.S. It's the first of its kind population-based study analyzing the abortion rate in 17 states where abortion has been available on demand to Medicaid beneficiaries. So a couple of takeaways: abortion leads to more abortion, and African-American women experience abortion nearly 4 times more often than white women, and this has been the case for at least 30 years or longer. We'll talk about that up next on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA. or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Over 60 million unborn children have been killed by abortion. Unwanted and abandoned, these are the outcasts of our time. A mere fraction of these victims managed to be buried. Let us honor them. Saturday, September 12th, the National Day of Remembrance. There are 5 services in Michigan at the graves of aborted babies. For all services, see abortionmemorials.com. That's abortionmemorials.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
As a pro-life Catholic, you don't support abortion, so why would you support a healthcare company that does? At CMF Curo, we believe there's a better way of doing healthcare. We partner with one of the country's leading health-sharing ministries so you can get authentically Catholic pro-life healthcare. Find out if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
I was awarded Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award and invited to their annual gala where they present the Margaret Sanger Award, named for their founder. Now, Margaret Sanger was a racist who believed in eugenics. Her goal when founding Planned Parenthood was to eradicate the minority population. Today, almost 80% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are strategically located in minority neighborhoods. And every year, Planned Parenthood celebrates its racist roots by presenting the Margaret Sanger Award.
That's Abby Johnson, who now runs a powerful ministry, and then there were none helping workers in the abortion industry come out of the industry and have a brand new life and a brand new job. And she knows what it's like to be there. We heard her speak last week at the RNC, Republican National Convention, talking about her experience inside Planned Parenthood. And really, I think, did such a great job of highlighting the racism that exists, that still exists today. Because Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist, and the largest Planned Parenthood affiliate, New York, is finally recognizing this after years and years and years of the pro-life movement talking about it. They told us we were crazy, we were conspiracy theorists, all this kind of stuff that we heard over the years. But this whole issue ties into our subject today, and we're blessed to have Dr. James Shirley with us, and he is a team member for the Lozier Institute. He's also one of their associate scholars at the Institute. And the numbers of African-American women who are having abortions, the number of African-American babies that are killed, we talk about racism, and that is an absolute issue. Nobody's ignoring that. And do we need to do things differently and better and continue to have a dialogue in the church and elsewhere? Absolutely. But, Doctor, it seems so incomplete when this whole issue of abortion among the African-American community is not even brought up in the discussion. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Your thoughts?
I'm really pleased to be with you this morning to talk about this topic. It's so important. And I would say that the legacy that we have from Margaret Sanger is clear if we just simply look at numbers that are not being reported. And it's very concerning. You know, anytime you look at a group, identify of a group, in this case we're talking about Black Americans, and you look at why they're dying, and you identify one cause of death that outstrips all others, you've got to ask the question, why is that and what does it mean? And then when you find out that that cause of death is abortion, that pretty much tells you everything that's going on. So not only are African Americans having abortions at a disproportionate rate, about 4 to 5 times greater than white Americans, for the past 30 years, it's been the number one cause of the death of Black Americans in this country. Hmm. And we don't have to really think very hard about what that means. It is another manifestation of racism in our country. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of the report that came out recently from the Journal of Health Services Research, what else did we learn? This obviously highlighted what you just mentioned. What else did we learn from this that people need to know, Doctor?
Well, you know, there's some kind of cliche things that you hear talking about what's going on in the black community in America in terms of things like crime and how there's this whole important issue about black-on-black crime. But if you look at how many black Americans are dying because of those types of unfortunate events versus abortion, abortion just dwarfs them. So the big problem is that often in this country, what is popular to talk about, it's not the major problem. It's a problem. But abortion has just not talked about. I think a lot of black Americans don't realize how important it is in terms of affecting our lives and our livelihood. So this new report from myself and colleagues highlights not just the number of deaths, but it looks at how many lives in the future are lost. It looks at what is the potential in our community. And the issue is really is that abortion is causing huge amounts of continuing oppression in our community in many different ways. And the numbers just simply bear that out, that a huge amount of loss. So one of the things that we look at in the paper is years of potential life loss. And of the number of deaths that are happening in the black American community, we can look at potential years of life loss. And it's about close to a million. 750,000 of that, three-quarters of that, is due to abortion.
Wow.
So this is the most important thing really happening in terms of the oppression right now of black Americans that goes unseen.
But where is it discussed beyond, you know, programs like this or other, you know, conservative shows? And I would say that Catholic and other Christian outlets are the ones mainly talking about it. This is so big, as you mentioned, as we were chatting during the break, Doctor, but we don't hear it or see it enough. This is, it's mind-boggling, the numbers alone.
Yeah, you know, I think it's exacerbating, but, you know, we live in a world where if you're not able to speak for yourself, nobody cares. And not just the abortion of black babies, but the abortion of babies in general.
Right.
Babies can't speak for themselves. And so the voices that are out there, many have been fighting this battle for many years, tried to speak up for the preborn. One of the things that we need in this country is to develop the legal respect for preborn babies, for preborn persons. And so there's an underground happening in front of our eyes. Planned Parenthood is a big part of that. And, you know, in growing up in my own life, I remember when I first heard about Planned Parenthood many, many years ago. And in our communities, it is presented as a positive feature, helping people with all sorts of problems around reproductive health. The problem is that at the same time, it leads and promotes the abortion of our lives. So I think the thing we need is just what we're doing right now, more education, elected officials, members of the clergy, not-for-profit groups, all sorts of organizations just need to be aware that we have in this country a process that's going on that is greatly disabling many, many lives, and also the lives of the mothers who lose those babies and their families. I have difficulty each day when I get up realizing that this activity goes on so commonly with so little notice of it.
I'm reading from your editorial, which is terrific, by the way, and published recently in the Washington Times. In the United States, more black American lives are lost to abortion each year than the total number of all other causes of death. Black children account for a disproportionate percentage of the more than 60 million lives lost to legalized abortion as a result of Roe v. Wade. In the present upheaval, Americans must recognize the urgency of protesting for the lives of our preborn children. We must, in particular, offer support to black mothers who disproportionately lose their children to state-sponsored abortion. We will not become the moral nation that many cry we should be, until we are consistent and fully critical in our stated moral cause. Black lives do matter, both the born and the preborn. Now, this last line you have here, as you know, is extremely controversial because you say that and you're looked down upon that you're not appreciating black lives. And people have been attacked for actually saying exactly what you said here in this article and said it so well.
Yeah, so, you know, I've lived the black life.
Right, right.
So many of the issues that black people in this country face, I've certainly faced. I'm well aware of the racism in this country that affects born people. But I think, you know, if you're going to try to do the right thing, you've got to do the whole right thing.
Amen. Doctor, hang on. We have to take a break. I don't want any of your wonderful words of wisdom lost. Hang on for about 2 minutes. We'll be right back. We have a satellite break. We're chatting with Dr. James Shirley, Associate Scholar of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, co-author of a new report, Perceiving and Addressing the Pervasive Racial Disparity in Abortion. As he says in his editorial, black lives do matter, both the born and the preborn. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning. Welcome back. Having a great conversation with Dr. James Shirley, Associate Scholar of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, authored a terrific editorial. We'll post that on our Catholic Connection section of the Ave Maria Radio archives, avemariaradio.net. You can also find it through EWTN.com and also my Facebook page at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. So, Doctor, let me allow you to finish your thought, but I think what you said during the break when we were chatting, my concern is getting this discussion out there beyond these types of circles. We do have a very big audience. We're blessed to have several hundred brick-and-mortar radio stations carried on the Internet, carried on Sirius Satellite. But, again, we're still a niche audience. And why can't we have this type of discussion out there more in the secular world?
Yeah, so it's challenging with the way movements work and how people think about their own branding of their movement. So there's been a lot of tension about people saying things other than Black Lives Matter. But I think what's important is not what people are saying, but why they're saying it. So, you know, there are folks, as I say in my op-ed, who want to rephrase Black Lives Matter as All Lives Matter. Some of the people doing that are doing that because they want to detract from the issue of racism. But there are others doing it because they actually want to be a part of it, and they want to make it a bigger, a larger tent. So all of that's happening in the secular world. The way I think about what I try to do in my op-ed is to say, hey, there are other black people dying that we're not talking about. There are little unborn black children that are dying at a higher rate. Now, I'm not trying to say that all of the things that Black Lives Matter is focused on are not as important. They are. But what I'm saying is we have this other thing going on that's equally important that needs our attention. And, you know, we didn't just start this with Black Lives Matter. We've been working on this problem for years. Just like racism's been here for adult lives, it's here for our preborn lives as well. So in this moment, I thought it was important, very important, to remind everybody that there's a contradiction when we don't talk about what's happened to our preborn babies. And the other thing is that it is, for all of the problems that we have in racism, the legacy shows up greatest in the abortion of our children. And, you know, the women, you know, I think most people in this country have this image of the woman who typically has an abortion, someone who is, you know, fell off, college student, has an undue, unwanted pregnancy and is trying to figure out how to move forward in their lives with it. But the truth of the matter is that the most common image, the archetype for abortions is a young black woman who has no means, has no way. And instead of our society finding a way to support them because they are black, in fact, we abort their babies. And so the legacy, we started with Margaret Sanger and the idea of exterminating black people in this country. It is still going on, and it is happening because we are dying before we're born at a much greater rate than we are living. And this is bad not just for Black Americans, this is bad for everyone. When a bad thing is happening in a society, everybody loses because of it. Even those who think in the moment they're benefiting, in the long term, we compromise our humanity. And so in this moment where we're really bringing more attention to those who are oppressed and trying to do better by them, I just think we've got to include the babies too.
And you say abortion is a hush killer of Black life that has silenced millions of George Floyds before they even took their first breath of air. Yet in this remarkable moment of social reform history, the lives of Black preborn children have been forgotten. Do you know if anyone has approached those who are behind many of the demonstrations to sit down with them and say, okay, we understand what you're going through, and we agree with some of what you're saying about the racism issue, but you're forgetting a whole block of people. Has anybody reached out to them to sit there and have this conversation that we're having on the air, for example?
No, I don't know. I don't know if anyone has. But I hope, because there's a lot of information in the news, I hope because of what I've written, there'll be members of those groups who will think about that. It isn't up to them to take this on. So I'm not saying, hey, you guys are doing Black Lives Matter, you should be talking about Black people and babies too. I'm saying this to all of us. All of us need to be thinking about this. And we need to be thinking about all preborn babies. The Black baby situation is just astounding, but it only speaks to the bigger problem where since 1973, 60 million preborn children have been killed in this country because of elective abortion being legal. And we've got to do something about this, I think, for this whole country. And so the responsibility lies with all of us. I do want to, if I can, I do want to make one comment about the current political spectrum. I watched pretty much all of the Democratic National Convention. And the biggest problem I have with it is that at no time was this unbelievable thing that's happened in this country. Abortion was not even mentioned. And that, to me, is one of the worst things happening right now in our political system. If we're going to be doing this, we need to be talking about it. If abortions are going to be legal in this country, every elected official needs to be talking about why we are continuing with this. So it's just so disheartening to see people who are so the leaders, as it were, of our country, just simply ignoring this issue. So I want to make sure that we keep talking about it.
Well, I can't agree with you more. We have to keep talking about it. It is such a hot-button issue, and it seems that people are willing to talk about everything else. And, you know, Catholic leaders who uphold the church teaching are attacked for it. We just had one of our archbishops raising this issue, just what you said, and actually talking about one of the nuns that spoke at the DNC who said abortion was above her pay grade. And he pointed out that, well, you know, how can that be when you're a religious and this is a life issue and life is a core teaching of the church? And he's attacked for teaching, you know, the truth of the faith regarding the issue of abortion and other life teachings. But this is how people have become so desensitized to it, though, Doctor, because it isn't discussed in the circles where it should be discussed, where people are saying they're so concerned about these bigger issues. It's either completely ignored or it's nuanced to be called a choice, making it sound, oh, isn't it great, we're American and we love our choices. We have got to get exactly what you're saying, this big issue, the numbers, the disparity in the communities with this issue. It's got to be discussed just like everything else is, and it's not yet. I mean, you're making a difference in being out there. I think we try to do that, but we have to get it more in the secular arena. So we have to keep talking about it. What else can people do?
Well, I think people need to think about going forward. The big challenge with talking about abortion is talking about what's happened in the past. There are a lot of difficult feelings around it, and it's still difficult thinking about it. I mean, the idea of improved lives for women is a very important one.
Amen.
So important. Where
Dr. James
now,
Shirley, we're out of time, unfortunately. So sorry. I apologize for interrupting you, but we are out of time. We'd love to have you back on. Dr. James Shirley from the Lozier Institute, and he's written a terrific op-ed on this, and we'll post that as well as his information. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour. Always great to catch up with Patrick Riley, president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society. Great blog on the Register, ncregister.com. Colleges keep it Catholic amid the epidemic. Patrick, good morning. Good to catch up with you again.
Good morning to you. Thank you.
And so how are we keeping it Catholic on the college campuses? Tell us about it.
Well, it's great. We've got a number of good, faithful colleges that have been trying very hard to compete with all of the big funded institutions, and they've been doing very well, depending largely on enrollment. But this was a interesting year, of course. You know, there was real fears that schools wouldn't be able to open at all. A number of them had to open at least partially online, if not fully online. But there are also a number of colleges that have been able to open in person thus far. And, you know, it's difficult. They have to be very cautious with all of the restrictions. But even amid all of that, they've been able to find ways to maintain that very strong Catholic identity. You know, you gotta have the masses spaced out further. So they've added extra masses, brought in extra priests. And it's just, it's exciting to see the dedication to good, strong, faithful education.
Yeah, you mentioned a few. You mentioned Benedictine College, Christendom, and Belmont Abbey, and a few others. How have these schools, mm-hmm. do you think, been an example for the rest of the college world out there, Catholic and otherwise?
You know, it's all in what you make your priority, right? You know, there's been all these concerns after the coronavirus that many Catholics who were, you know, dispensed from going to Mass will stop going regularly, and all these problems. And so individually as well as institutionally, you have to have a real commitment and a real eagerness to get back. And that's what these schools are demonstrating. And Benedictine College out in Kansas, when they realized that they had to space out students and they couldn't have as many students in Mass at any time, instead of limiting the Masses, they doubled their priests on campus, and then they added extra Masses. They have three every day, added an evening Mass, four on Sundays, and they have a pretty big church. And so University of Dallas did the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, added, they changed the times, their classes, they had to change their entire schedule because they needed to add extra classes and spread out students more and put them into different locations, and rather than just leaving the Mass schedule and the confession schedule as it was, which would have meant that many students under the new class schedule couldn't make it, they rearranged the Mass and confession schedule because they understood that that was extremely important to their students and for a truly Catholic formation.
We're talking with Patrick Riley, president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society. You can check out his blog at the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com, Colleges Keeping It Catholic. I would think this would be really encouraging for parents to hear, and it sounds like the students are all in. They really want to get back. They want to make sure they can receive the sacraments, one of the reasons that they go to these solid Catholic institutions.
That's right. That's right. It's so important, and The and the college is considered important as well, right? They consider this part of the education, that any good Catholic education is centered on the Eucharist, and that's how it should be. You know, Ave Maria University was very fortunate down in Florida. They had virtually no cases in their area back in the spring semester when the virus first hit. And so they went 6 days without Mass, and then they went back and they started having online services, but then students could receive the Eucharist outdoors outside of the church. And so they made every effort possible, something that we frankly didn't see from a lot of the parishes, you know, really making this a priority and trying to find every way possible to make sure that the faithful could receive the Eucharist, if at all possible.
And then this is all happening in the midst of this new report that came out, and the Register has a story on this as well. Doctors say evidence shows Mass is safe when guidelines are followed. In April, the Thomistic Institute's Working Group on Infectious Disease Protocols for Sacraments and Pastoral Care released guidelines for reopening churches for Mass and other sacraments. And evidence now suggests that church services following these guidelines do not present a greater risk of spreading the coronavirus than other similar activities. And this just came out again within the last 10 days. And so some of these places in the country where they are limiting Mass to, let's say, 12 people and ridiculous numbers like this, when you have this evidence that shows, just as you're pointing out with the colleges, when you're following the guidelines and you're keeping it safe, you can reopen the churches.
Right, right. You know, it's all a risk and it's all unknown. And certain people, obviously, still, you know, very high risk cases need to be extremely careful. But by and large, especially for young people, it does seem to be safe. That seems to be the science that's coming out, and especially if they wear masks, you know, when entering and leaving and don't stand and socialize too long and such. You know, it's especially difficult, of course, to maintain that kind of discipline with young people.
Right.
But I also think that that's one of the great things about these colleges, is that you have young people who so desire to have the availability of Mass and even adoration and confession and other opportunities, that they are really willing to go the extra length to make sure that the rules aren't broken and that they're able to continue having this available.
I really appreciated what you pointed out in terms of how many students lose their faith after graduation. You say such opportunities are important for young adults whose faith is seriously endangered. After college graduation, nearly 75% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And even among those who attend Catholic colleges, nearly 1 in 8 Catholic students leave the faith by graduation. So it's crucial, you go on to say, that students preserve their faith in college. But even more, the college years are a time when students should be formed for sainthood, and that requires a lot more than simply holding on. Great points.
Yeah, I talk to parents all the time, and very often they're very excited that their son or daughter graduated from college and still goes to Mass. And these days, you know, there's good reason to be excited about that, because the statistics are dismal in terms of college students not continuing to participate in Mass and maintain their obligations. But, you know, we should want so much more than that, and young
right.
people should want so much more than that, right? We should be developing and forming. These are the great years of becoming adult Catholics, and so that's what college should be all about. The other thing I've been seeing lately is a lot of talk about you know, good Catholics or conservatives going to these colleges, these major universities, and fighting the good fight. And I just question, you know, I'm glad for the heroism of those who do that, but is that really the purpose of why you're going to college?
Right.
I mean, you're going to college to get an education and a formation. So it's just wonderful that we have available these places where you can go and really get a good education without the hostility every step of the way.
And also with the research coming out, there's another study that was just released. I talked about it on the air yesterday in my newscast, and we're going to do more on it when the full report comes out next week. But there's another study that's showing, and this is primarily done among evangelicals, but you can imagine, I'm sure there's a similarity with Catholics, given the number of fallen away Catholics, that a majority of Christians do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe he's a great teacher.
Which means they're not Christians, right?
Right, right, exactly.
it's incredible. Our society is sliding so very fast. And, you know, it's a generational thing. I think, you know, every generation looks back and thinks things can't be as bad as they seem to be on the news. And I tell you, when I see a number of these colleges, I think it's worse. I mean, it's really dangerous what is being pushed at young people, not just in the campus life, which can be toxic, but in the classroom, you know, often subtly, but, you know, pretty much every academic discipline, including theology, has been taken over by academics who, frankly, you know, are not nearly as faithful as they should be and are not incorporating the insights that, that Jesus has given us about God and about the foundation of every truth that we know.
And, it, you know, there are never any guarantees. You can do the absolute best you can, but when you let your children go out the door and they're 18 and they're going out into the world, you have to pray and continue to encourage them. But that's why the more you give them the grounding, the better off they'll be, at least I think. Even if they fall away, you know, God willing, they'll come back because they have that grounding and they'll find that what they're searching for, you know, like Dorothy said, if I ever go looking for my heart's desire, I won't go any further than my own backyard.
Right.
I use
right.
that as an analogy of the church because it's very true, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think we have to do a lot better job of providing that formation early on. This is why Catholic education, you know, whether it's supplementing a public school education or whether it's, you know, authentic Catholic education throughout the day is so extremely important. And we have to do everything we can to provide that education to young people. You know, this idea that they're going to go off to college and get their philosophy and get their theology and get all of that, it's frankly not necessarily true. And even at the best colleges, the majors have taken over to the point where they're only getting one or two theology courses, which may be very solid, but they need that strong formation before they ever leave the house.
Yeah. And I've heard of families who had really strong formation with their kids, and their kids go to a public university or even some quote-unquote Catholic universities and totally lose their faith. I mean, and very quickly.
Yep. Yeah, and I think one of the big reasons that happens is because faith, you know, even the most, you know, strongly Catholic families in terms of their sacramental life and their prayer life, it's kind of compartmentalized from the rest of their secular life and from their education. And I think that that's a real problem because young people aren't realizing the great importance of the insights of the Catholic faith to their studies of science, their understanding of creation, of economics, of business, of literature, of everything. And that's what a Catholic education provides.
Well, the whole worldview of being Catholic, you know, that everything,
right.
The things that matter most. Are there, years ago, there was a priest who kind of scared everybody. He was giving a homily before one of the elections. This is about 20 years ago in our parish. He's not there anymore. He's a great priest. But he said, it shouldn't be, your faith shouldn't be a factor when you go into the voting booth. Everybody went, what? What? And then he said, it should be the factor. Everybody said, oh, okay, now I get it. But how many people look at it that way, right?
Right. Well, it should be the factor.
The factor.
That you do, right? The factor. And that is something that, frankly, I think society generally and a lot of Catholics chase at. They feel that that's not appropriate. And we have to regain that sense of the importance of the Catholic worldview because if God doesn't enter into everything, he's not God.
That's right, and he's not Lord of your life, more importantly, right? Patrick, thank you for your great work with the Newman Society and also the great blogs that you do for us at the Register and elsewhere. Patrick Riley is the president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, promoting and defending Catholic education, also teaches at Aquinas Learning, a classical Catholic homeschool program led by his wife, Rosario. They have five children. Thanks, Patrick. Good to speak with you.
God bless you, Teresa. Thank you.
All right, have a great day. And we'll have a link to his latest blog from the Register on our archive section at Catholic Connection. You can just go to AveMariaRadio.net archives to see it there. We'll be right back. It is a Tuesday morning, September 1st, to let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday edition of Catholic Connection right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay tuned. Hi, friends. It's Teresa Tamia reminding you that our fall membership drive is coming up Tuesday, September 15th through Friday, September 18th. We need you to remember that we have to conduct this drive very differently because of the situation we're in our country and our world. If you're already a member, we thank you, but make sure you renew that pledge to Ave Maria Radio. If you're not a member, please become one, a member of the Ave Maria Radio family, by simply going to AveMariaRadio.net or clicking on the app.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, Sharon Burgess, in memory of her parents, Albert and Wanda Lutz, who would have celebrated their 79th wedding anniversary and Albert's 102nd birthday on August 30th. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. Amen.
Incredible True Story is now a powerful, uplifting motion picture event. Fatima. In 1917, the world needed hope when three children received a miracle.
Who are you?
I come from heaven.
Fatima has now been endorsed by the Shrine of Fatima, featuring the original song Grazia Plena, performed by Andrea Bocelli. Fatima, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now in theaters and on demand.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Thanks so much for tuning in to our program, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Always exciting to talk with our dear sister, Joan Lewis. She comes up tomorrow on a Wednesday. For the latest of what's happening in Rome and the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith, the Vatican, the Holy See, and all that good stuff, she'll keep us up to date and also give us a little tease of what she'll be talking about on At Home with Jim and Joyce. Just beautiful reports from Rome every week for that wonderful program with the Pintos, which I love very much. And again, Joan is coming up tomorrow, and we'll also keep you updated on all the developments with the election and why we, when we go into that voting booth, of course, as that former associate pastor at our parish years ago said, that it's not just a factor, but our Catholic faith, our relationship with God, if we are serious about it, if we are serious about Him, it should be the factor in everything we do, including that voting booth. Talk to you tomorrow. Andre tutto bene. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.